brothers and sisters. During Lent, we often talk about entering into the desert. It's a time of purification, of spiritual cleansing. We use this image of the desert because the desert represents a place where all the distractions of our normal lives are removed. In the desert, we're left alone. It's just us and God. All the things we use to distract ourselves cease to exist in the desert. Cell phones get no signal. Cable television is not available. There's no internet. There's no iPods, no Xboxes. It's just us and God. With all these distractions set aside, we're left to focus on the serious questions, the ones that we often choose to avoid. Who am I? Where is my life going? What do I need to be doing to get to heaven? Our Lenten practices of fasting, prayer, and almsgiving are meant to help us remove the distractions from our lives. You see, we don't enter into Lent by fasting, prayer, and almsgiving in order to prove that we can do something difficult. No, the Christian life is difficult enough. We don't need to add more difficulties. We fast so that we can enter into the desert and assess who we are and how we're doing in our relationship with God. In doing this, we follow the footsteps of Jesus, who enters the desert for 40 days. The desert, of course, is the opposite of the garden. It was in the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve committed the first sin, where the rupture between God and humanity first occurred. The desert, being the opposite, is the place of reconciliation and healing. So by entering into the desert, we're entering into this place of healing. However, as we learn, the desert is not only a place of healing, but it's a place of temptation and trial. But these temptations themselves are marked by a certain holiness, right? The gospel tells us today that Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit to be tempted. The same Holy Spirit guides the church as she enters into the desert to be tempted and tested. Why is this? Well, because when we're tempted, when we're tested, we learn a lot about ourselves, right? And we see this as an important theme in all areas of life. People want to go to doctors who have been tested, who have proven themselves. One of the big questions with the upcoming NFL draft is, how well have these athletes been tested? In school, we're tested to see if we've learned the material. The spiritual life is no different. Our relationship with God needs to be tested and needs to be purified. And we see this happen with Jesus. St. Luke tells us that Jesus fasted. He ate nothing for 40 days. And when it was over, he was hungry. You know, I think this is one of the biggest understatements in the gospel. Now, think about this for a minute. And let me give you an example just to help. When I skip a meal, I'm usually starving by the next meal. I'm hungry. I'm cranky. I'm ill-tempered. And again, this is only after skipping one meal. Jesus was fasting for 40 days. So we can only imagine what kind of mood he's in and how hungry he is. And it's at this point, in this weakened state, that the devil comes to tempt him. If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. The first temptation, the first trial. Pope Benedict, in his book, Jesus of Nazareth, takes special note of how this temptation begins. It challenges Jesus' very identity. If you are the Son of God. The Holy Father states that the devil could very well extend this challenge to us. If you are the Church of God, then start by making sure that the world has bread. The Pope is keenly aware of the difficulty in responding to this trial. He says, quote, "It's hard to answer this challenge. because the cry of the hungry penetrates so deeply into the ears and into the soul, end quote. Now, the devil is tricky here. You see, this temptation appears to be a good thing. Shouldn't we strive to feed the hungry, to meet the bodily needs of those in the world around us? Of course we should. But listen to Jesus' response. One does not live on bread alone. You see, this first temptation is to focus on bread alone. It doesn't take God into account. And we see this temptation all the time, don't we? It occurs when we reduce the gospel to just a message of social justice. It occurs when we try to separate our works from our faith. We cannot solve the problem of giving bread to the world apart from God. In fact, as the Pope points out, every time humanity has tried to solve the world's material problems apart from God, it's led to tyranny, as in communism or national socialism. What the Holy Father proposes is that we look at the words of Jesus in connection with all of his other statements about bread. In the multiplication of the loaves, we learn that God himself will provide bread for the world. And in the Eucharist, Jesus offers his body as the food that will nourish us. What we learn from the first temptation is that our priority is to be nourished by the Word of God, and then material needs come second to this. In other words, we can't worry about feeding the world until we have first been nourished by the Word of God. The second temptation that we hear is for money and for power. And this, I think, is one that we see constantly in our society, right? People do the craziest things for money or for fame. And reality TV has become almost the ultimate proof of this. But it isn't limited just to celebrities or celebrity wannabes. How often are we tempted to violate the precepts of our faith to gain some kind of worldly honor or status or wealth? This is the temptation to cheat on a test, to fudge a number, to misrepresent a product. It's the temptation that we all face. I experienced this even as a priest. You know, I could come and I could preach a homily that would make everybody feel really good at the end of the day. And we could all leave here, and I would be the most popular priest in the world. But what would I have done? What would I have done to the integrity of our faith? What we learn from this trial is that we are called to an integrity of faith. We are to place worship of the Lord and fidelity to his commandments over our own status and wealth, especially at the times when it becomes difficult and inconvenient for us to do this. The final temptation that we face in the desert is the temptation to put God to the test. And this temptation is all over the place. So often we tend to think that God owes us proof, that God needs to manifest his power and to do what we tell him to do, rather than the other way around. Isn't this modernity's big objection to belief in God, that God doesn't subject himself to our whimsical desires, that God doesn't prove himself to us, that God doesn't answer our prayers exactly the way in which we want him to or in the time that we'd like him to? Well, here the Pope reminds us that when we put God to the test, we're implicitly denying God as God, because we've placed ourselves above him by discarding the whole dimension of love and its interior listening, by no longer acknowledging as real anything that we can't experimentally test and grasp. To think this way is to make oneself God, the Pope says. So this final temptation is the temptation to view ourselves as over and above God. rather than to submit to God. So friends, as we enter the desert this Lent, we need to be prepared to face trials and temptation. But let us be mindful that it's the Holy Spirit who leads us into the desert. So we face these trials knowing that they are holy. And while trials are never fun, we know that if we call upon the Holy Spirit, we will be able to endure these trials of faith. And our faith will be purified. We'll become better followers of the Christian way of life. Peace to you and to all who enter this Lenten journey.